Salut à tous, ce soir je reçois la légende Eli White. Tonight it will be amazing for us because the legend Eli White is with us. Eli, thank you very much to be here. And I'm so proud because it's maybe your first time with the French people. So can you introduce yourself, please? Who you are, what you do, and why for me and for a lot of people you are the best sales trainer in the world.
Awesome. Well, hey everybody. My name's Eli, and since 2005, for 15 years, I've worked with a man named Tony Robbins, and he's like a coach, and he coached Michael Jordan, the basketball player, Oprah, Barack Obama, five American presidents, very successful people, to help them optimize their success and make them more powerful in how they communicate, not only with others so they perform better, but with themselves and their mind. And he would do these seminars all over the world, and I would sell the seminar. And so many of you here are selling coaching on the phone, but I would typically go to a company and I would sell his seminars. And in that time, I did over $100 million worth of sales. And I will show you something. When I worked inside the company, there was a bunch of other salespeople, but myself, sometimes I would outsell the rest of the company, just me. And a few years ago, other people, even Tony, started asking me, what am I doing differently? Tony, some of you don't know who he is, but he understand the psychology very well. And he would turn around a suicide, somebody was going to kill himself, and he would turn it around. And now therapists and linguistics, people that study communication, study him. And I took that advanced communication and psychology into sales conversations to turn around sales, turn around objections, connect deeper with my prospect to get them very emotional and get them connected to what they want. And then they were very willing to give me money to buy. And so a few years ago, I started teaching other people what we do on the phone. And Angelo joined my course, and we've been having a really good time. Just a couple months ago, I did a presentation for Tony's audience, and I sold $12 million in one day.
Boom.
So it's very big, and I'm going to open up to questions and things like that. But I worked in sales, and I'm going to share my screen here really quick. If you guys let me, and I'll show you the numbers,
Yes.
but yep,
Yes,
okay,
you can now.
awesome. This right there is a picture of me and Tony. So who here? I don't know. Will I be able to see people if they put in the chat, or are they on Facebook?
Yes, we're in live in a Facebook group. And so do you want me to transfer the questions? Okay. Hi Eli, Andre, hi Angelo, hi Eli. Okay, so glad I could make it and listen to this live with you, Eli. Okay, Khalid, who say, hey, say, I was waiting for this moment. Oh my God, 12 million, congrats, Eli. Okay. Do you want me to share the comments, or do you want me to put on a? What do you need? Tell me.
I just gonna open up some Q&A. So if they have questions about anything, it's fine. They can chime in at any point. But I'm just
Yeah.
gonna teach some things right now and help people understand a bit of the psychology that drives their performance. And so when I worked at the company, we all had the same script. Like many of you have script, and we talk to people on the phone. And sometimes I noticed that sometimes people bought, sometimes they didn't buy. And when they didn't buy, I get very frustrated. And I think to myself, would Tony or somebody else been able to close that person? And I was like, yeah. So what are they doing differently? Because we had the same words. And eventually, when I worked for Tony selling against other people, we had the same script. So we said the same words. We had the same product at the same price, selling to the same people in the same city, same everything. And once I figured out, I outsold everybody. And there's one of the months right there. So this is the last month that I worked for Tony. And the top
Boom.
person in the company had 198 sales in a month, which is a lot. These are all professionals, some of the best in the world. but mine were three and a half times, almost, three and a half times more because of some of the things that I can show you here today. And so some of it was the psychology, not only understanding their psychology, but my own. And we say this, when two people meet, like you have your prospect, the person that is more certain, more confident, there's a feeling there and it will influence the other person. And so how do we generate this feeling of certainty within ourselves, certainty about our purpose and why we're there? So connected to a vision that's bigger than ourselves, we connect to our certainty and then connect to the person. And if you make a connection to a person, but you don't own yourself, or you're not connected, you don't have a reason for why you're doing what you're doing, it comes off creepy and weird, and people don't want to connect with you. And so there's a quote that I heard a long time ago by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And he said, who you are speaks so loudly, people can't even hear what you said.
La personne que tu es aujourd'hui parle si fort que tu n'as même pas besoin d'ouvrir la bouche. Qui tu es aujourd'hui, ça respire si fort que tu n'as même pas besoin d'ouvrir la bouche. Wow, it's so deep. I love this quote, actually. Wow, this is amazing results, Eli. Why did you stop selling for Tony? Or maybe it's too personal, no. How did you know, Eli, you are someone who is really talented, you are someone who is a star in the industry. How did you know when you was young that you were made for doing something like this?
You know, when I was young, I wanted to be an actor, and I acted a bit, but when I was young, I was the quietest person in school. I spoke very little. They actually thought I was mentally handicapped because I didn't speak, and I was very shy and very nervous around people, and I was in my head a lot. And I just started working on myself and reading all the books, going to the seminars, same thing all of you guys are, and I just worked on it. And it wasn't easy for me. It was really hard, but I really wanted it. And so I would speak and I would like listen to my sales calls and all of that and just notice where things weren't good. And said, I'm going to work on it. And I even had a big gap in my teeth when I was a kid, like right here. And so I got braces, obviously, and I closed it when I was a senior in high school. But then I still mumbled. I didn't articulate my words. And I was like scared to have my mouth open. And so I was like, would mumble and stumble all over my words. And so I just rehearsed. And every day on the way to work, I'd put a pencil in my mouth like this. And I would say the alphabet, or I'd say affirmations. And I would condition my mouth and my voice over and over again so that I could be more clear and change the cadence and the tone. And you'll notice that when I'm speaking slow right now because of the language, but when you hear a really good speaker, you'll notice there's like a cadence, almost like a rhythm. And sometimes you get into a rhythm and it gets really monotone. And so we've got to be able to change the commands of our voice. Sometimes we'll have like, be like friendly in our voice and sincere. And sometimes we'll lift people up and let them know that they can do it. And you'll notice that I'll stutter sometimes and all these things and these verbal pausing and the intonation and different types of tonalities are what help you connect deep with your prospects, because communication is only 7% words. It's 38% tonality and it's 55% body language, like how you feel. And I like to say this, that all sales, all communication, it's transference of emotion. And when you meet somebody, if you can have a feeling inside of you, if you have fear inside of you, or if you're self-conscious, people feel that. And when two people meet, like I said, the energy that you want to transfer, especially on a sales call, is certainty and clarity. And so if people don't buy and they say they got to think about it or they've got to talk to somebody, really what they're saying is, I don't trust you, or I don't think this is work, like it's going to work, or I don't think it's worth it for what you're asking. And that's because you've not built enough value. So there has to be value in the product, but they have to see value in you. And how do you create value? Well, the first thing, it's got to be really certain. They've got to have some confidence, and you can't give them confidence and certainty unless you have it within yourself so you can give it. And then there is this clarity. And so I teach inside of my sales process that we get on the phone, we make a connection, that's stage one. And then there's the discovery portion or the engagement portion. And that's about 85% of your sales conversation, where you ask really powerful questions, but you're asking about their problem. You're asking about the cost of inaction. You ask about what they want. You ask about what's in the way. You ask about partner, spouse, money. So there's 10 things we want to get clear on. And I call these the 10 clarities. And so we want to be able to install or create these beliefs about you, your product, your service, the idea that you're trying to communicate with them with certainty. And so it gets really clear, because a confused prospect doesn't buy. But also, if you give them too much information, then they say, I have to think about it, because you gave them too much to think about. And so we created a process that helped me sell a lot, that helped me sell over 100 million. And so that's the process that I teach now. And that's me at the Tony Robbins event. That's us in Fiji. And everybody here, I'm curious, who here, put a one in the chat if you know who Tony Robbins is, put a two if you do not know who he is.
Ok, donc dans le chat de la vidéo, ceux qui connaissent Tony Robbins, mettez 1. Ceux qui ne connaissent pas Tony Robbins, mettez 2. On est, avec Eli, on est curieux de savoir qui est-ce qui connaît Tony, qui est-ce qui ne connaît pas Tony. We are very curious to know in France who knows Tony and who don't. Ok, 1. Ok, guys, please. 1. Ok, lot of 1 for now. Eli, what are you looking for when you see someone who can be good at closing? What are the main requirements for you as a human, as qualities? And yes, what are you looking for, especially when you train a closer to improve him or her?
One, the communication. They have to be able to speak clearly. It's very important that you can understand the person. But it's interesting. There's a guy that I've coached for a while. He's from Italy and he lives in Australia. His name's Marco. Might have seen him.
Whoa. Yeah. He's a beast.
He's a beast. I mean, he's had months where he's done over $1 million in a month. He's on some accounts where he'll do, 400 just on one account, 400,000. And he's so committed. He's just so passionate. He's so certain. He's hungry. And we say there's three things that it takes to become successful in anything. One is a vision bigger than yourself. Because if it's just all about you, you're not going to be connected and you're not going to have a reason to grow. Then you need to have the right strategies, which I teach, and then you have hunger. So to be good at anything, you just got to be hungry, like really, really hungry, not satisfied. And that's why people succeed or don't. So you have to be able to determine whether or not the person's going to be hungry. And when I worked for Tony, I worked for Tony for a few years. I left the company, got back into acting. I got really sick. And then I came back to work for Tony's company. And he did a boot camp where he taught the most advanced sales, influence, communication techniques to us. And there he and I had an interaction, like an intervention. And he said this one thing to me. And he said something to me that was like so powerful. When he said it, it completely just blew my mind. And when he said this thing, it was just like, that's it. And so before every single presentation I did there moving forward, I read this one thing to me over and over again, because this one thing Tony said, I was like, that's perfect. And so I read it out loud before all my meetings. And it inspired me. And I literally made millions of dollars because I was so inspired by this one thing. Would you like me to read this one thing?
We are waiting for this.
Yeah. All right. This is what he said to me. He said, to influence someone, you must be connected to that person. You must not only understand them intellectually, because you can understand them and you can judge them. You must understand and appreciate them. You must connect to them, their needs, their wants, their desires, their fears. You got to step into their world without buying their story. That's the unique balance, to step into somebody's world and appreciate them, but not buy their limitations. Our job as leaders is we must never buy their limits. They've already done that to themselves. If you buy their limits, you've added no value to their life. The added value you offer representing me and our partnership with these potential clients and customers is that we don't buy their limitation. I don't buy the limitation how fucking long they can go without food, how late they can stay up, how fucking hard they can clap, how intense they can feel, or what they can achieve. And because I don't buy those limitations, and because they feel I care, and because I go there first, I can influence them. And wow. So fortunately he said, like, recorded, he said it, I recorded it and I transcribed it and I was like, that's it. And he said some things there really powerfully. In order to influence somebody, we have to be connected to them. We need to be able to connect and understand, but not understand and judge them, appreciate them. And so when Tony does these interventions or anything in the context of the sales, the first part of my process is to, it's the connecting phase. So we ask certain questions that allow us to connect, but it takes the focus off of us and onto them. And the whole outcome for that section is not to sell or anything, but just to make a general, like a connection. But regardless, some people might say they're looking at a different program, or they might be mean to you. They might be resistant. And in that place, we become kind of like animals a lot. Stimulus response. But what separates us from animals is we get to choose our response. And sometimes we react and we respond in a way where we've not chosen consciously about who we want to be inside of those challenging moments. And if somebody is angry or fearful or mean, what's underneath somebody's anger is always hurt. And so right away, maybe they've had a challenge in the past, or somebody ripped them off, or something's going on. And so how do we show up? And no matter what they give us, how do we appreciate what they're saying and not take it personally? Even if they have an objection, not get frustrated. Because as I said, that all sales is, it's transference of emotion. And when you think of emotions, energy and motion, I can tell somebody exactly what to say to handle a certain objection. But when I say it, it might sound different than somebody else. So if you spend 45 minutes on a conversation with somebody and then they say, I got to think about it, or no, or they keep on objecting, I can tell you what to say, but somebody else might say the words with anger or fear or frustration in their voice. And when you say words with that frustration, the people respond not back to the words, they respond back to the energy and motion, the emotions. And so you have these people, they're like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's just this energy back and forth, and the conversation doesn't go anywhere. And sometimes the most powerful thing that we can do is to be vulnerable and not be like this powerful person. And so, as you said, to be powerful for people, to be a powerful communicator, sometimes the most powerful thing we can do is to be vulnerable ourselves and to make an authentic connection and to really care. And as he said in that quote, we need to be able to step into somebody's world and really like have that empathy and deep connection and really like understand, like to really step into their world and appreciate them, but not buy into their limitation. They have a story about money, a story about time, a story about themselves or what they deserve. And it's that same story that has them stuck, same story about themselves or people or life or money that has them on the conversation with you. And so as leaders, we don't buy into that limitation. We don't buy into that story. We can do something where we remove the story from the person. And when I would do these seminars, and here's how you guys can think of it. This is really powerful. Once I got it, this is based in NLP, the way that I would communicate. And in NLP, it's called neuro-linguistic programming, or what Tony calls it, neuro, meaning nervous system, associative. We have a certain associations, conditioning. Like we can condition, just like a muscle in the gym, we can condition in other human beings' responsiveness and their associations to us or something through anchoring and through emotions and through tonality. And we can create these subconscious triggers in people. And so it's really, really fascinating work. But as it relates to the energy, we can make a deep connection with them if we know the targets. And so that's why I created these clarities. And when you do it and you know what to look for, and you can tell when there's the surface pain, which goes nowhere, or the deep pain. So we can ask probing questions and clarifying questions. And, you know, has that had an impact on you? Well, okay, well, how so? And so we dig and we find that in a non-judgmental way. And in the coaching world, they often say coaching is like holding space. holding space. And sometimes people won't give you the truth about their situation because they don't trust you. And so how do we create that space? And you know, from being in my program, one of the things that Tony taught me that really just like skyrocketed my sales is when he taught me postures. So there's three postures that we communicate from. One is superior. And so I can be talking like this, like I'm talking down to you, like, listen to me. And I'm giving commands. Dan Locke, Jordan Belfort, not so much, but Grant Cardone,
yes.
They kind of talk down to you. And a lot of their audience is younger people. When I started doing coaching, everybody that I coached and I sold all made way more money than me. And so some people teach to be really authoritative, like this authoritative thing. But if I'm like, say I'm 27 years old and I'm being really authoritative to some dude who's like 50 and owns a business, he's like, get the fuck out of here. You're like, you're a joke. You know, it's like, I've been doing all these things and you're like, you know, some of these guys have like five kids and 20 businesses and make $500 million. And they're like, who the fuck are you? And even if you have that certainty, they might appreciate you, but you're going to have this dick swinging match where you're bam, 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 and you're bumping heads. And so the first posture is superior, and we don't want to get stuck there. Dan Locke and some of those people, they stay in that posture. And so most of the people that buy their stuff are willing to admit that they're inferior. And so it's a lot of young guys that are new that do have problems with communication, but really successful people, you can't communicate to them like that. The second posture is equal, where we talk as just friends. So, you know, even for me, no matter who I'm talking to, I just treat them like a friend. Even if it's like a young kid or old person or somebody more, so I just treat everybody the same 80% of the time. And so just being equal is where I spend about 80% of my time. And then there's inferior is the third posture. And in inferior, I'll lift somebody up. I'm like, wow, the great thing about what you're doing is this. And wow, it's like, it's so inspiring to see you doing that. And I'll lift people up. And so if we stay superior, we are a jerk. If we stay equal, we become a friend, but we don't influence people. So we've got to dig in there. If we just stay inferior, like, oh my God, you're so great. I feel so humble to talk to you. If we stay there and not bounce around a little bit, we won't be able to influence people. We'll just be complimenting them a lot in a sales conversation. In life, it's okay. But on a sales conversation, there has to be something there or they're not going to feel led by us. And I really do believe that sales is leadership. And in order to lead people, doesn't mean that they have to follow you or like you push them into something. You have to connect. And that's what separates a really great, like a president or orator or something like that. They have this ability to connect with everybody. Obama was a great communicator and his ability to have that, to be funny and empathetic and connect and make fun of himself and then give commands. And so he's changing postures a lot with his tonality and his connection and the structure of his language. And he studied NLP as well. And so I remember after Tony taught me this, listening to an interview that he did with Jay Abraham. And Jay Abraham is a very famous marketer. And he was very successful, way more successful than Tony at the time. And Jay Abraham, though, has a tendency to ramble. Like he just talked about things that make no sense. And in this interview, Tony goes, listen to me, Jay. He said a command, like, shut up. But right after that, he goes, listen to me, Jay. The great thing about you is, and he complimented him, that's inferior. And then he said, but what we want to know, equal, we, da, 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 and we, and so you're a lot like me. So the real question is, how did you do that? And redirected him. So it's like a pattern interrupt. Listen, the great thing about what you're doing is, and with that said, I really want to know this because we're just curious because I think you're a lot like me. How do you do this? So the real question is that. And so he just redirected him over and over again. And you have to be able to engage people sometimes, interrupt their pattern. And as soon as you do that, you'll want to compliment them or sink inferior. And inferior isn't weak. It's lifting people up. And I think of the martial art jujitsu, where even in jujitsu, you're on your back, but you can kill somebody on your back. And so inferior doesn't mean weak. And if we lift other people up, just with their tonality, we don't want to stay there. And so we're bouncing around all over the place. But the key is when you're connecting with somebody, the two master skills I think it takes to get really good at communication or sales or business or anything, and this is in across the board, could be in poker, could be in basketball, could be in sales, the master skill is pattern recognition, to recognize patterns in people's psychology based on what they're saying, like what's really going on beneath the surface with these people, recognize the patterns in their communication. Maybe they're lying, maybe they're not being honest, maybe they're not giving the whole story. So we recognize those patterns. And then the two things you have to be able to do is use sensory acuity. So acute sensitivity, like somebody might say, you might say, hey, well, how are things? You know, they're pretty good. Well, you don't sound so certain. So what are they really saying? You know, well, if you don't mind me saying, you hesitated there a little bit. What was that? What's going on? It'd be a little funny. And connecting, you'll find the conversation will go deeper and you'll get to the core. So it's sensory acuity and behavioral flexibility. Flexibility of the posture, of the tone, of moving. So not just having a linear script where we go boom, boom, boom. And one of my mentors a long time ago said this, said that you can have guesswork, hard work, or a framework. And a framework is a proven step-by-step process that you can do repeatedly that produces a consistent result. And there's different frameworks in communication. When somebody's here, it's not like they say this, I say that. Communication doesn't work that way. And so it's like, otherwise there'd be like the one pickup line where you could, you know, date and have sex with any girl. There'd be the one thing that you could say to handle any objection. But human beings just don't work that way. But for some reason, people think that that's how they should do it on sales calls. Like, what do I say when they say I got to think about it? I don't know. What came before that? You know, it depends. And so what were you talking about? Did you give them too much to think about? What they might really be saying, I don't trust you and you haven't uncovered my real need. I don't see the value in what you're saying. I don't like you. You know, it could be any of these things. So what are they really saying? It's not that they really have to think about it, because chances are once they get off the phone, they're not going to ever think about you again. So they're not going to think about any of it. And so you just something to think about, or you've given them, you've not asked the right questions, or you asked them in a way where you created sales resistance. And through that sales resistance, they don't trust you enough to tell you the truth of their situation because you weren't able to make that connection.
Eli, you know, a lot of people are looking for a sales coach. A lot of people are always asking the same question. And why do you think people are obsessed with objections? How to handle objection? Please tell me what to say when someone is saying me to this. Please tell me. If someone tell me, I need to think about it, what do I say? Why people are so obsessed with objection?
You know, whenever I bought a sales program, Tony's program, any of them, I always write the objection handling section first. And it's crazy that we do that. And it's because the master sales trainers of like the 50s, 60s, 70s always taught that stuff. They're like, you got to do that. The sale hasn't started. Jordan Belfort says the sale hasn't started. So you got like five no's and try to get the no's out right away. And he's obviously done well, but we did a seminar together, Jordan Belfort and myself, 2 years ago, and I outsold him with my method. And so I think those ways of selling are dated because they sold before the internet. Now people have all the options, and it used to be you saw a salesperson to get information and they shared the information and they sold you, they demonstrated you. But now people know what it is and they have all the options. You can't pressure people that way. You have to create a connection with them. And I think people get frustrated at the end of the call when they get an objection. So they want to be able to handle it. But sometimes people will have concerns. And so I call it not handling objections, but embracing and helping people resolve their concerns, because they have concerns. But here's the thing. We want to prevent objections. And if they have an objection on the back end, it's because we didn't connect and we didn't uncover the real problem on the front end. So whenever you get an objection, you shouldn't think like, what should I say to handle it? You should be thinking, what did I not say? What did I not cover? Where did I break trust ahead of the call? And that's why with my process, and you've seen it, there's the connecting phase, there's the clarities, which is money, spouse, time, cost of an action. So if we get an objection at the end, could be money. Sometimes we need to change our sales call and ask better questions up front or even before the call to qualify, because that's why it's a system. But what typically people are saying when they give you an objection is that we've not really uncovered a need. And somebody might even say it costs too much. So there's different types of objections. There's logistical, like they really do have to talk to their spouse or move money around, like from a different account. That's logistical. And so we want to check in and say, okay, you know, is there anything that's keeping you anything from being less than 100% sure that this is the right thing and this is the right time? So we want to make sure that we get them. So there's logistical objections. There's like partner spouse, which is could be logistical too. Like sometimes it's like legitimate. Sometimes it's legitimate money concerns. Sometimes like a smoke screen. People just, they just automatically, oh, just looking. You know, it's like you go into a store, you really need something, but you have a habit. They just do that. Mm-hmm. So you have to treat them differently. But 80% of objections you get are uncertainty based. What they're saying is they're not certain how your $10,000 thing is going to make them $20,000. So you have to make that clear within the presentation. And so ask the right questions, because if it's really clear and it makes sense and they feel certain, they're going to do it. Like if they're certain that if I can invest $5,000 and get my health back, my relation, all that stuff, and they really believed it, they find a way. And so we have to kind of back up a little bit and figure out why are they saying that to begin with.
Wow, this is so deep. People on the chat are crazy. Please, Eli, tell me more, please. But I have a lot of questions from women, because in France, women sales queen are not very renewed yet. So no. I know your take on it, but I want you to explain, what do you think about women in sales? And my take on it is women are the future of closing. But everyone here wants to know your take on it. What do you think about women in the closing industry?
Yeah, well, women are better. So statistically, like not even making it up, the numbers say that women are better in sales. And you wouldn't think that, but it's an interesting thing. So say there's a female, or say there's a male customer, prospect. And remember I talked about superior and equal and all that. Women can be a little bit more direct with a prospect, say a man, and doesn't break rapport. If a man is like challenging to another man, the man will have a negative response. But a female can be a little bit more aggressive, and you need a little bit of that. You definitely need a little bit of the salesman to connect, but it won't break rapport. And women are seen as more trustworthy. So even for myself, I have a bunch of testimonials. You gave me a testimonial, thank you. The first one I show is always a female. And if I only can show one testimonial, I show a female, because people just trust females more. Females are considered more empathetic, and they most likely are, just based on their biology and hormones and all of that. And so we just have a tendency as a society to trust women more. So women in sales can be really, really good, and the numbers prove that. So women, it is a huge opportunity. And we have a sales agency that I started a couple of years ago. It's still going. It's run by a woman. She's the CEO, Bella. And it's mostly
Bella Beruta.
They use my content to train the salespeople. So yeah, women are badass in sales.
Mm. Okay, vous avez entendu ça, les filles? Women are badass in sales. Mm. Eli, do you remember your best call? Do you have one call in your life that, wow, I will always remember this call?
You know, I remember specifically what comes to mind. I did a presentation at a bank one time, and I was selling the Tony Robbins event, and the tickets were anywhere from like $1,000 to like several thousand dollars. And there was a guy, really overweight, kind of insecure guy, just, you know, surprised. Like, it was a tough meeting and nobody bought. But at the end of it, he was like, I'm going to take the most expensive one. And he bought everything. And we connected for a while and we talked. And a couple years later, I saw him. So he went to the seminar. And then I saw him a couple years later at a date with Destiny. And he looked totally different, lost weight, looked more confident and everything. And he saw me. He was like, man, I've been looking for you. He said, that day that you came to my office, my girlfriend had just left me. And I wrote my suicide letter. I was going to kill myself that night. He said, I was going to kill myself that night. But he said, I knew you were coming to the office and I thought I would just see it. He says, you gave me hope. And so he was also so far in debt. He was like $100,000 in debt. So he was going to kill himself. And so he was like, so he bought the most expensive ticket because he was like, fuck it. You know, I'm going to kill myself anyway. So he still went. He said, I gave him hope to go to the seminar, and the seminar changed his life. And then, you know, this and that. And, you know, it just reminded me. And now I've had similar experiences where people change their life based on my presentation and meeting me. And they say years later, like that was the day. And so I get these almost every day now, but it just reminds me all the time that it might not be for you the one conversation that's really powerful, but everything that we do is a cause set in motion. And it's like a ripple effect. And you don't know how that conversation you have with somebody, whether they buy or not, is going to affect how they communicate with their kids that night or their spouse or what they do. And so when we get people connected to that higher standard within themselves and get them to look at their own patterns within these calls and ask really powerful questions, we shift people. When I would do these events, I would often start off my seminar kind of like this. I would say, who here has children? And some people raise their hand. I'd be like, or whoever here was a kid. And most people laugh and they raise their hand. And I say, well, I would never say to a child something like, little Johnny, you're bad. I would say, little Johnny, you're amazing. You're amazing. But this behavior is not like you. So we separate the power and the possibility of who little Johnny is. And then we talk about the patterns of behavior that he gets into that are completely out of alignment with his highest self. And then I say, look, because we don't want to label little Johnny in this bad way. We want to get him to realize who he really is and look at these patterns of behavior and not label him as bad or depressed or sad or whatever. That's not who he is. It's just the pattern he goes into. And you right here in this room that I'm talking to, you are just big kids. And there's the power and the possibility of who you are. And there's patterns that you get into, fear, indecision, laziness, apathy, you know, weakness, where you just give up. This isn't who you are. These are patterns you get into. And so today I'm talking about how to change the patterns so you can have more strength in really owning yourself. Who here is up for that? And so right there, I'm creating a frame. And in NLP, you can do something called parts integration. But what I'm doing is getting people to look subjectively at their own behavior. And I want to vilify the behavior that I don't want them to take. So that's called a negative presupposition. But a positive presupposition is when I say something like, hey, I love talking to people like you. I love talking to the French people because you guys are action takers. You're decision makers. You're very proud. You're the type of people who are willing to do the tough work. You're the people that are willing to make short-term sacrifices right now today so you can get the long-term goal because you're committed to making a difference. And so what am I saying? I'm saying you're a buyer. You're an action taker. You're a decision maker. And people are like, I am, I am, I am.
Yes.
And even Freud said the strongest force in the human psyche is to remain consistent with how we see ourselves. So if I say like, so the way that like Grant Cardone does it, he's like, you guys have a terrible mindset. You know, you guys are giving up, you know, and he's like talking down to people and they're like, yeah, I am. And then it's like trying to sell people your thing, saying, yeah, you suck, you suck, you suck. That's why you need my thing. So that's one way to do it, as opposed to I flip it and I sell like to the absurdity. I say, wow, like the fact that you're only making $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month, that's crazy. Somebody like you, you're amazing. This is who you really are. You just need these skills. I mean, I could talk to you about, I mean, you should be making like at least 50,000. And if that's you just somebody like you, you just need a little more skills. You know, because so what are you doing right now? Oh yeah, we could train you in that. And people are like, really? And I'm like, yeah, you know, and it's like, you'd be there 50K a month. I mean, that you're doing this much, that'd be an extra like 40K a month for you. And what would that do for you? It'd be like an extra $500,000 a year. What was the first thing you would do? Well, I would do this and I do this. Well, I mean, the training is just 5K. And if you decide to move forward, we'll take care of your pain so you can have pleasure and you can do that and spend all the time with your family and travel. How does that sound? Like, sounds good. And sometimes there'll be a little bit of an objection, but you go back and forth and you discuss it like a human, not somebody reading a script.
Wow. People are crazy in the chat box. Wow. Chat box. Eli.
Yes.
You can see, sorry, because it's in the group. Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? What is the next mission for you?
You know, so I just released, we're pushing it out today, a new sales program called the Sales CEO. So just like being the CEO of the company, the reason that I was successful for Tony, I didn't just wait for leads. I got some of my own leads. I prospected. I had a follow-up process. I hired somebody to help me with my administrative work. So we just created a program called the Sales CEO that teaches you how to do organic posting on social media, get your own clients, how to make more money, but you got to treat it like a business. In my mind, I was already like partners with Tony Robbins. I saw myself as a company. Like I was the CEO of my own sales process. I didn't just wait like for leads and things like that. You need to get some leads from your person you're selling for, but I took ownership and they saw that. So even in the company, I got the better leads. I got all of it because I owned my mindset and I was a different psychology. And I had more rapport with actual CEOs because of who I was. And I was decisive and I was strong and I had a mission statement and I was really aligned with what I did. So we're pushing that program out now. And next month I start writing my book. So people have been asking me to write a book for like a bajillion years. So I'm going to put a lot of these strategies in there and it's going to be like the best sales book ever. So it's going to take me probably just a couple of months to write because I've been doing this stuff forever. So we're just going to shove a lot of stuff in there. I'll tell people my story. And there's a girl that I used to date that is now one of the big time people at Good Morning America. It's the most watched show in America. And she said she'd have me on there. So it's like, we plan on one really big, like Grant Cardone big. And I'll do events and seminars and things like that. And we're building out a significant size company with coaches and all that stuff. And people, you know, I don't even have a sales staff myself right now, but we're going to have one because people reach out to me every day. They're just like, I want to sign up for your course. So we've not needed salespeople yet, but we're going to start doing marketing. Actually, next week, we start running ads, YouTube ads, and we'll drive people to funnels and then sell them. And just like Dan Lok did, I like what Dan Lok did but he had like 1,000, 2,000 people going through his course every single month. We're going to do something similar, but we're going to teach them better skills, better self-development skills. Cause I teach there's four levels of influence versus how you influence yourself. Then it's one-to-one, then one-to-many. And then how do you influence after you're gone? So we teach these four levels and we're going to go really heavy on level one and two, how to influence yourself, morning routine, evening routine, like preparing your biology, training your communication, having certain questions that you just say over and over again with the right tonality, really having these drills. So we'll do these drill sessions getting to the pain. Okay. And just help me understand, da, 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 da. You know, okay. And why is that important to you now? So like a 30-second bit where you role play with people every single day, like boom, boom, like just like a drill over and over again, over and over again. So we're just going to start training people to be really, really good because here's the amazing thing. Most of you know who Tony Robbins is. Some of you don't. He's like the biggest guy in self-development. He's like the Michael Jordan of self-development and he coached Michael Jordan. And so he's huge. And he put out a program last year called KBB, which stands for Knowledge Business Blueprint. And so what we're finding, and it's happened here, it's going to happen in Europe even more. It's already happening in London more than it is in Paris, or in France. People aren't going to spend so much money to go to university to learn from old books because information moves so quickly now. When by the time you get out of school, 4 years later, the information is not true anymore. And you can learn for just a little bit, like $5,000-$10,000. You can learn from somebody who's the best in the world, who's doing it, that didn't do it 30 years ago. And that could be fitness stuff, that could be business stuff, that could be marketing stuff, that could be sex, anything that you can think of that people want to know more about, you can find somebody and take their class. So online education is right now a $335 million a day business. They predict by 2025, it'll be $1 billion a day. And so all those programs that will be 5, 10, 15, 20, you know, I'm in a $30,000 program right now that I paid. All those programs are going to need salespeople. And right now with COVID happening, people that have retail jobs, like selling clothes and things like that, retail store, they're all shut down. And all those people need jobs. Also in America, the police force, a lot of policemen are out of jobs. And these are quality people. You know, they're not terrible people that lost their jobs selling, you know, at Saks Fifth Avenue or Macy's. They're articulate. They're good salespeople. And so they're going to come online. to sell. And so more and more coaches that maybe even had brick and mortar stores, even like gyms, a lot of them are closing, like they're shut down. And so all these businesses are going online and people are creating like home studios. Like, I'm going to have a studio here for filming. And so the whole world has changed and all business is going online. Just in the last 6 months, I think Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, he's worth like an extra $40 billion because, you know, all the stuff and they're acquiring things. And Elon Musk is worth an extra like $12 billion. These people are making so much money because people are just like online, they're bored and they're buying like a car. I almost bought a Tesla the other day. I was like, I can just hit this button and all the information's there. And, you know, I went to the store and somebody talked to me about it. I was like, this is awesome. But it started with a phone call and the opportunity for those of you to be the one taking that call and get a commission sitting from home. Find a program or a product that you really align with. It could be sales, could be fitness stuff, whatever. Find somebody who's great. For me, I wanted to find somebody that wasn't good. I wanted to find somebody who was the best in the world. It took me a long time to connect with them, but Tony's the man and he became my mentor. And I was like, I could, if I find somebody who's like pretty good, the best I'll be is like kind of good, you know? So I wanted to find the best in the world. Like if you study under somebody like Grant Cardone, he was good a long time ago. Those things don't work today. And he listened to, I bought his program. He's like, come on, man, you know, get it. Just do it, man. Just do it. You know, that's not going to work. He's got a lot of personality and charisma, so we can work for him. And he's famous now. So those guys spend millions of dollars every month on advertising. So you see their face, they're famous. He's like a celebrity. And so people buy from him because he's a celebrity, not because he's good at selling. And so for all of you, you just need to get a lot of reps and really take advantage of this opportunity. So to answer your question succinctly, I think there's going to be an explosion of online business for salespeople. And I see myself being like the next Grant Cardone. So when I write these books and things like that and get on some shows and have like an internet show, we'll do a podcast, we'll do all the things. And so I'm embracing that because a lot of people, everybody in the industry knows who I am, but I've never done any marketing. And by everybody in the industry, I mean the top people. Like Grant Cardone knows who I am. Jordan Belfort knows who I am. Tony Robbins knows who I am. Brendan Burchard knows who I am. But I don't do any marketing. So those companies know who I am. So once I start marketing and the masses know who I am, and I've got testimonials from the biggest names, people are like, wow, that's really good. But I've taken a while to release all this because we want to make sure that the actual training really helps people. I could do marketing right now and make a bajillion dollars, make like millions, but we want to make sure the training is like perfect before we release it so we can really help people.
Wow. This is so powerful. People are still crazy. They're still here in online. Eli, what is your routine? What do you do to keep your mindset high? And how do you do? What do you do to keep your vision so high?
You know, it's interesting. When I was starting out, just like so many of you, I was insecure and I didn't really know what I wanted. And so I figured there's a phrase that says iron sharpens iron, but people sharpen people. And if you want to be better, get yourself around some really sharp people. And I was really blessed to have mentors in my life that were billionaires, like really successful people. I've just been really fortunate to be around people that held me to a higher standard. And it's like, you know, you hear you say that the five people you surround yourself with, their average income, that's your income. And for a while that was scary. I was like, these are some broke people. So I'm always upgrading my peer group and I've got really great friends and relationships, but I'm a single guy. I'm 42. I've been traveling for a long time. And, you know, for myself, I used to isolate myself and I'd be home a lot and working and I feel really lonely. And next thing I know, I'm like going the other way and like partying or whatever way too much. And so I try to check in. Tony has this thing called the six human needs. The need to feel certain or safe, the need to have some adventure. Because if you're on calls all day, it can get boring. You know, I need to feel special, significant. I need to feel connection or love. And so now I've set my life up in a way, and I know myself, where I'm really clear about where I am, and you've always got to have that next thing. And so for each one of you, getting really associated to your higher purpose, I talked about, like, why do you do this? And there's the needs of the ego, then there's the needs of the spirit. And the needs of the spirit is one is to grow. And it's a law of nature. You know, when things grow, they're alive. When they're not growing, they feel like they're dying. And for you watching this, it could be in your skill set, could be in your relationship. It's like, if you're not growing, it just doesn't, you don't feel alive in your income or anything. And so it's not like you're dying as a person, but you don't feel alive. And the first time you close a deal, first time you kiss somebody, first time you drove a car, there was aliveness inside of you. And I know you've got some of that, but I think you should have more of that. And most people don't have more of it, first of all, because they're not aware. Like, you need to have more of that. You need more skills. You need to push yourself. And just like going to the gym, you can go to the treadmill and just walk on the treadmill. And some people, that's their life. They just go to work and they go through a routine. And yes, we need to have routines, but you need to go in the gym and push yourself a little bit. Your heart's beating. You remind yourself you're alive. And there's a different juice that comes out of the situation. But you can even push yourself at the gym and you're like, why am I doing this? So you have to have a vision that's bigger yourself. You have to have a target. I love that dude, Matthew McConaughey. Do you know him, the actor? He said, it's like, I have to
all right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, all right. He says, I got to have someone to chase. And he says, who I chase is my hero in 10 years. And I'm never going to catch my hero. So you have to have a vision of yourself in the future, like seeing yourself. And I used to get up in the morning and I had this like a list of things that I would read out. And I would see myself. I used to hike up a mountain every morning in Hollywood called Runyon Canyon. And I would see myself in the morning. I'd wake up and I'd see myself on top of the mountain at the end of the day, like in really good shape and just super confident and just communicating well. I just had this vision of myself, and I saw myself on billboards, and I got on a billboard and things like that. And so I just had this vision of myself doing things. And it's really important. I think that a lot of people talk about affirmations and it's stuff like, I make $1 million or I make $100,000. That's not how you want to do it. It's like, to see yourself, because you're like, oh, I make $100,000. What does that mean? But if you were to say, I see myself as a person who has a strong impact on people and gets rewarded. People want to give me money for that based on who I am. Like, you have to have a vision of yourself. And as they say, acting as if. And so I've got some strong things this year that I've really been wanting to hone in. And it's just like acting as if. And for me, there's even some young guys like Taylor Welch, who I partner with. He's a young guy. I think he's 31 now. But he's like, I can tell he's kind of like, the way he speaks about himself, he's not quite there yet, but he believes it. And so it's happening very quickly. And he's becoming successful faster than like anybody in the industry. Sam Ovens is another one. And he's got those affirmations. And it's like, it's all about like the belief cycle, your thoughts and feelings and your belief that create your actions. And so what you want to do is create like this mental rehearsal. And another word for mental rehearsal is just conditioning your mind so that you see yourself in a certain way. And when you see yourself as this person and you take action, the quality of the action, the amount of your potential you tap into is different. So you can say something to somebody, but if say you can say like somebody handles an objection and you can say something to handle it. If you don't believe that it's going to work, you're like, well, do you want to do this? You know, it's like, it just doesn't come up well. But if you know, and you've seen it, and no matter what they say, it's almost funny to you because you're just so certain. Like, they might not see it yet. The world might not see it yet, but you know. And having that level of certainty and then embodiment, as they say, acting as if and moving into every conversation, moving into every room, and just owning it, owning yourself, owning that vision, and realize there's always going to be a gap between where you are and where you're going to be. So you're always evolving and always growing. And so to take some time and sit down and get really clear on that version of yourself that embodies all the values that you want. And the most original, you know, OG self-development formula is, many of you heard, be, do, have. So in order for me to have the things that I want, which are my goals, what do I have to do? What you do every day, those are your habits and rituals and routines. And not just what you do physically, what you do inside of your head. 99% of the thoughts you have today, pretty much the same ones you had yesterday for most people. And so how do we look objectively at what we're doing, how we're thinking? Because you're not your thoughts. It's your mind. So we need to look at our mind. What's that mind doing in these circumstances? How does that mind react? And if that mind is not acting in a way that's in alignment with the person that I want to become, to have the things that I want to have, I got to change that shit. I got to condition. I got to look at those things. I got to write some things down. I got to visualize, and I got to make that picture big and bright and juicy and really get associated with that, because everybody's running a pattern right now. And a pattern is just another word for a habit, a habitual way of that we do things. And most of it is just unconscious. That's what we want to get. That's the Maslow's hierarchy, to get you conscious, you know, or unconscious competence. So when you do something for the first time, like tying your shoes or driving a car, it feels fumbly. And so as you mentally rehearse this vision that you want to have and you do it in your mind, it doesn't feel good. It's okay. You know, just keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Maybe get a coach, get some feedback. Okay. And here's how I respond. And you get a little, they say, oh, you get a little bit tight, or your voice doesn't sound clear, or you're not seeing it well. And they can see you. Somebody can work with you and help you with just your mind. And so there's things that we do. So all goals, all the things you want to have, are supported by habits and rituals. And one of the things that I would do, and I just started doing again, is I track my habits. And so let's say that somebody wants to get in great shape. They want to lose 20 pounds. They want to have a six pack. That's the goal. Well, what are your sleep habits? What are your nutrition habits? What are your exercise habits? And you would keep a journal on what you ate that day, how much you slept. Did you meditate? What was your stress like? Scale of 1 to 10. So we can track doing. We can track the quality of the doing every single day and see if these actions are in support with the goal. Somebody says they want to make more money. All right, let me see your calendar. Where do you spend your time? And in that time, how do you show up? Scale of 1 to 10. 10 is like the best in the world. 1 is like somebody who's sucks. Where are you at? You know, it's like based on that. And so you can track some things, because if somebody wants to get in shape, well, show me your rituals and habits. So you want to make more money? Show me what you're training, what you're studying, what you're doing. Are you prospecting? What are you doing every day? So actions always support the goal. But where do our actions come from? Because two people can have the same goal and take the same actions every day, but get different results. So there's the beam. And that's why I said, who you are speaks louder than anything you say, because who you be, who are you? Now, who are you? That sounds really kind of general subject, but who you are is based upon your values. So you can value health, you can value comfort or safety or love or family, but there's a hierarchy. And so to be hungry, so what are the values? Who is this person that could do that with ease? And so for me, when I saw Tony Robbins get into these conversations and he could turn around suicide, he could turn around a sale, part of it was what he was saying, but part of it was who he was being and the way that he made people feel cared for. I was like, okay, I could act like I'm sincere and make people think that I care. But the best strategy for making people feel like you care is to actually care. So my being, I was like, well, I'm just going to be sincere. I'm going to really think about this person. I'm going to really think about, get associated. I'm driving to a meeting, or say I'm going to sell somebody on the phone. I look at their application and I'm like, okay, this person's in real estate. They have 2 kids. They're making $40,000 a year. Wow, that's tough. And I'm like, man, that's got to be tough with 2 kids. That's not a lot of money. They're in real estate. They're probably working 100% commission. They probably have some months that are good, and then they probably don't get paid for like 3 months. That's probably pretty scary. And so I'm getting associated to this human being. And when I meet somebody, I'm like, I feel like I know them. And even I do it very quick habitually now. Like you guys, I wish I could see people, but I brought up France a couple times in this talk. And I obviously don't do that on all my talks. And usually I speak differently, but I'm slowing down because I know that the language barrier is for you. So because of that, I'm associated, I'm changing. So I have acute sensitivity. I'm sensitive to you guys speak a different language and that you guys are sales and maybe it's tough for you. So I'm associated to that. Remember we talked about sensory acuity, acute sensitivity and behavioral flexibility. So even now who I'm being is I'm changing myself and how I would usually communicate, because my outcome is I want to make sure that I can say something to help you. And so what I want to have is impact in the world. What I do every day is I talk, but who I'm being and how I'm doing it and the actions are flexible based on the environment. So that's why this talk that I'm doing with you is different than normal, but every sales call you do will be different based on what's in front of you. And if you're selling a really expensive thing or a cheap thing, or you're selling like a real estate thing or a business thing or a you know, getting more dates thing or getting a, you know, getting healthy thing, it changes a bit. But what always remains is your character and your ability to change things, not in who you are, but change things in your sensitivity around who that person is and take them through a process based on deep empathy and connection and to dig into that. So the process for you or anybody here that wants to better their lives, they have to spend a lot of time, not only in the doing and the goal setting, but really working on their character and to be somebody who's skilled, to be somebody who doesn't give up, to be somebody who's hungry. And so for myself, I've got those things that I run through all the time. And after, you know, so many years, you know, of doing it, just like anything, it comes quicker to me now. And if you guys are new, totally fine. They say this in the Navy SEALs, what's slow is smooth, and what's smooth is fast. And so if you rush things too quick, it's not smooth anymore. And so being smooth, and even when you notice somebody who's a good communicator, like I'd say myself, I'm a good communicator, like I can be pretty smooth in my words, and I can almost be too perfect where it sounds exactly perfect. And so I'll slow down a little bit. And sometimes I'll kind of almost, it looks like I'm searching for what I'm going to say, but I'm doing that intentionally to draw out the words so that they land and people can feel. Because as they say, it's the spaces between the notes that creates the
music.
And so we want to get people to drop into that space and connect their emotions to you in the moment. Otherwise, you have a very surface conversation. So that's the flexibility. And so these are some of the tools that you guys can begin to condition to allow you to become a powerful, and by powerful communicator, I don't mean like power over people, but a powerful computer, a communicator in the sense that you can empower other people with this deep connection.
Wow. Wow. I'm still blown away. Like it's really amazing. People are amazed in the chat also. Wow, that's amazing. Yes, new identity, yes. I think for today it's all good, but I have still two questions for you. Actually, I have two things. The first one is for me personally, because hey, it's my show, it's my group, and I do what I want. So sorry people, because it's my group. Eli, what do you like in Angelo?
What's that? What I like in you?
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, you're so charismatic. You're so committed. You're so committed to this. And in France, you're taking high ticket closing there. Dan Locke, obviously very big, awesome. And he does it in English. And he's really big in the Asian market. There's people in America. You're bringing high ticket closing to France leadership. And you have a team. And you're training people in these skills. It's amazing. And French people, hopefully nobody will take offense, can be a bit perceived as rude by Americans. Very like there's a certain communication. And to be able to take some of this language and connect to learn this and translate it and deal with this, because it's easier to sell Americans, by the way, than it is French people. We buy everything, where people were skeptical there. You've been committed to learn these tools and take them into a whole new country. And because nobody's doing it there, in like a year, 2 years, you're going to be huge if you stay on this path. So like my buddy Thaddeus, you know Thaddeus, the tall black guy that I traveled with last year, the German guy? He does a lot of these self-development events, but he does them in German. And he's got this beautiful language. You could be just like your friend, the what is the guy's name? Black guy, Eric, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing these self-development events in France. And you could do that in the high ticket world, bringing all this stuff right there. So
that's the plan.
You're a pioneer.
Yes, that's the plan. And sticking around you a lot more. That's the plan also. Now, thank you, Eli, because it's in the box. It's for me, straight to my heart. Thank you so much. I have a last thing for people who are watching us. So, for example, if someone wants to work with you now, if someone wants to learn everything you know, and what should they do now? What should they do now if they want to take action to go inside your coaching program?
You know, I'll share with you guys this. So we're just pushing out the program this week, and we've had so many people ask to like ask about it. And so I'll shoot people this thing. It's like a essentially like a little mini VSL. I'm going to send this to you on I'll send this to you on Messenger, on Facebook. And this lets people know exactly what we do. We have this program we just pushed out called The Sales CEO. People should follow me in my Facebook group. It's Elite Level Influence, ELI. I know it's a cheesy name, Elite Level Influence, my name. It's a free Facebook group, but we've got this CEO program coming out. We've got a lower end program where I just teach some basic sales stuff where people can learn from. If you're interested in it, go through this link and it'll let you know all the details. And then we're releasing, starting next week, a CEO program where we teach you how to generate leads, how to follow up systems, how to sell by chat, your morning formula, what you do to prepare yourself mentally, how you track all your numbers, how, if you want to sell for other people, how do you create better relationships? And also people that are inside of that program will have access to me daily. So if you have any questions about an objection, screenshot, I will be coaching you every single day for a few months. Any question about anything for 3 months, it's like, and we, in that program, because you're working with me directly, it's really expensive to work with me one-on-one. So I'm doing this in a small group, and I'm guaranteeing that whatever money you invest in the program, you'll double it. So it's like a money back guarantee, but there's no way that if you're committed and you do what I tell you, that you won't make money. So that's the program. That's the brand promise. So I'm doing this one time, and we'll record everything, and then we're going to sell it next year as like just a standalone product.
Wow. Everything is perfect. I have the link on Messenger. I will provide to people inside my group. Eli, wow. Eli, come on. It's amazing what you've done today with us. Boom. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you so much from deep in my heart. I love you so much because you changed my life, and you changed a lot of life because you changed mine. Maybe you don't know yet what you have done with me, but now it's my testimonial for you. Thank you again. We will see the next chapter very soon, and see you soon, Eli.
Awesome. Love you, buddy. To everybody, I said, what's up? Thanks for being here. And what you guys should do is post at least one takeaway, something you're going to take away from this chat that you're going to implement. You know, never leave the site of learning something without taking some action at the end. Otherwise, you create a habit of just doing nothing. So do something, sign up for something, learn something, write something down, do something that you can implement as a new ritual, conditioned way of doing things. Otherwise, you go right back to the same old pattern, and this was just like entertainment. I know I'm very entertaining, but at the same time,
yeah,
it's actually get you some skills and some money.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, much love, buddy. Reach out to me anytime. And guys, I will see you inside of my group. Take care, buddy.
Yes. Goodbye, bro. Bye.